for the wonder of your love and the role you play in our lives. We praise you. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. On this first day of summer, let's begin by singing number 89, For the Beauty of the Earth. Please stand, and we'll sing verse 1, 4, and 5.
Welcome, everybody. Is there anybody who would like to be introduced or anybody that you would like to introduce this morning? Welcome with us. Welcome. And I guess we should also welcome summer. It's our first day, long day of the year. Last night we were walking and it was probably about 10 o'clock at night and it was still bright and it just felt really nice. I approve of summer. We have a fair bit of announcements for our church family. I think I would like to go through them all. Not in the bulletin, Phil and Elizabeth have asked to pass on that the surgery for Jacob was longer than anticipated and that Jacob will most likely be in the hospital for about a week. Please keep them in your prayers. Number six, congratulations go out to new grandparents, Carol and Gary Martins. Their chosen grandson, Wesley John Sawatsky, was born June 10th and is now part of their son, Jeremy and Tamara Sawatsky Martins family. That's fantastic. And also, Gary and Donna Hebert have the results from Gary's chemo and radiation treatments, and it looks like everything has worked out well. The tumor is completely gone. So that's wonderful news, too. Please keep the Lage family in your prayers as Louise carries on with her recovery in the hospital. John and Helen Zacharias are asking for your prayers as John has been diagnosed with thyroid cancer and a surgery date is set for July 3rd. Please pray for John and Heidi Schroeder's daughter, Terry McKee, who will be undergoing cancer surgery on June 22nd. Sympathies go out to Abe and Sarah Cowanowen on the passing of Abe's sister, Helen Unger, on June 18th in Paraguay. Our condolences and prayers also go out to Anna and Deed Klassen on the death of their son and Anna's nephew, Joel Torsten Duerk Braun, in Paraguay on June 11th at the age of 22. And also our sympathies and prayers go out to the family and friends of Louise Hirschfeld, age 91, who passed away on June 19th. Louise was the mother and grandmother of Helen and Gerhard Kron, Pete, Liz, and Kyle Hirschfeld, and Anna Varjek of our congregation, as well as Fred and Hetty Hirschfeld, Rudy Hirschfeld, and Shirley Nagy and Eric Hirschfeld, who passed away October 19th of this year, of last year. Funeral services are pending at this time. You can call the church on Wednesday for details. Everything should be set by then. In memory of Louise and of comfort to the family, we'd also like to sing a memorial hymn, number 581.
Bottom of the page and then in English. Yes, please stand.
Should also have mentioned there are still other announcements in the bulletin. Please read them at your convenience. For sharing time today, we were asked to think and ponder about some things about our fathers and be ready to share them today if you're so willing. I believe we have a microphone wandering around. We do. I can start. I have a microphone already. This is my dad's shirt. I try to wear it every Father's Day in memory of him. And one of the things I thank him for is showing me how to have fun. He liked to have fun. He loved to have fun, especially when playing games. And he turned lots of things into games. And one of my favorite memories of him was when he and my mom were at our house one night and he found marbles on the floor. And in no time at all, he was down on his hands and knees playing marbles with the boys, laughing, and he laughed. And he was just having a great time. It brings a smile to my face every time I think of it. Is there someone else?
Hello? Oh, there we go. Is this thing on? Okay. My dad is Leonard Lage, and I'm going to probably embarrass him right now, because he's just that way. You say anything nice about him, and he's embarrassed. And that's the way it's always been. And Karen is probably right. This could have taken a long time. At this time, I'm 58 years old, and my dad is, 97 this year? 87. So, you know, I've been very fortunate to have my father this long. And autistic kids and kids with ADHD don't come with a handbook, especially in the 50s. And I have to say that my father did so much for his kids, in spite of the fact that we rarely appreciated it, or appeared to appreciate it until much later in life. And of all the times that I can remember, that I argued against all the things that my dad was trying to teach me and say to me, I would say that each and every time he was right. And, you know, this admission wouldn't have come when I was 20 or 25, but it's coming today. And I want to thank my dad. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy being your son. I had to live up to certain standards. And when I couldn't meet them, I was angry, and then I took it out on you. And I'm very sorry for that. I love you, Dad.
Okay. So that was my dad. And I'm not going to lie, he's kind of annoying sometimes. But he's still my dad, and I know he's always there for me, and he's always going to support me. So thank you for that, Dad. I love you.
Hi, I'm Elfrieda Gertz, and my father was David Lohn. What he taught us was to always look after each other, and there is always room for more family to come and stay for a while, even if your house was already full. But most of all, it was his ethics that he passed on to all of us. When you give your word, you stick with it, even if it hurts. And when you take a job, you give not only what you can, but 110% and then some. He was the most generous man I have ever known. Thank you.
Hi, I'm going to try and do this. We'll see. My dad was Waldemar Gertz, and he's been gone for 12 years this summer. And the impact he had on all of us is huge. I'm going to limit it to three things. Girls can do anything. And just because you're a girl, don't ever let a boy tell you you can't do it. That was his number one motto with all of us, and he raised us that way, to be strong girls and strong women. He was raised by women, and he said when men say that women are weak, they don't know what they're talking about. The other thing is that he had a lot of tragedy in his life and a lot of difficulties, physical and accidents and different things, and he always came back from that. And he never, ever said, why me? It was a big lesson for us to learn and to see someone deal with what life gave him. He always said, why not me? What makes me special? That stuff won't happen to me. So it's a good lesson for us. And I've never forgotten that one. And the other one, like your dad, he laughed. He was so much fun. The grandchildren still talk about how much fun he was. He laughed and laughed, and he did so many fun things, and he was so silly, and he relived his childhood. He lived a childhood with us and with his grandchildren, and it was awesome to see.
My dad was August Hallman, one of my favorite memories of him was on Sundays after church, we would all have our big lunch, and he would tell us jokes until my mom, who was a little more straighter, said, okay, that's enough, August. And he would play his guitar. He had built a 7-string guitar, and he would sit and play all these lovely Russian tunes, and it's a wonderful memory that I still think of. And I have a sweater that I've kept that I wear now and then when I just need to feel that he's there. And he was always our biggest chauffeur. The other night, we were all talking, a bunch of girls, and we decided, you know, this dad and that dad, and what did that dad do? One of them said, well, my dad never gave me a ride. He never gave me the car. And I said, my dad always picked us up. If I had to have somewhere to go for Mrs. Litz, he would have the car full. If I needed to go camping, he would give it to me so that all of us would have the car for camping. He always gave us the car, and he was a very generous man, and he's been gone for almost 20 years, but certainly a very special place in my heart.
Leonora Weeb. My father was John Fast. He was a fantastic man. Sorry, I wasn't going to do this, but he's the man who carried me on his shoulders, tall as I was. But I was prone to streetcar sickness, and my grandparents lived in St. Norbert. So we wiggled and waggled all the way to St. Norbert, but in between time we had to get off because I was ill. And Dad would walk blocks and carry me on his shoulder. And thus, he has carried me through my youth. He has taught me how to be faithful in all things. If you give your word, that's what you keep. And you love for a lifetime. My father has been gone now for more than 20 years. And there are certain songs that bring tears to my eyes. My father loved to sing. And the reason I know so many songs off by heart is whenever we traveled, Mom and Dad would sing. There was no radio in the car. They would sing from Pigeon Lake all the way to Winnipeg, or to Morden, or wherever we went. Father was also the kind that, when summer came, we would go to church in the morning. The afternoon, Mom would have packed a picnic lunch, and he would take us to a beach somewhere close. And that happened on all the sunshiny Sundays of summer. So everybody, welcome to summer, and love your dads.
Hi, Linda Titterton. My dad is Jay Clawson. First of all, he never said no when I wanted something. And he never said, oh, okay, I'll take you or whatever. So once a month, we always had our Pigeon Lake party. So you couldn't be much further than North Cladonan all the way out there. But he would take his turn and he would drive me out there and take along some friends along the way. And I said, okay, Dad, but you can't pick us up till midnight. And he did. Tired as he was, he never... I'm assuming he was tired because I'm tired now, but he never said he was too tired to do anything for us, for me in particular. Well, for all of us, but I'm speaking for myself. Also a man of strong faith. A prayer warrior. Someone who prays for all of us, not just his kids, but there's so many of you sitting here. You just have no idea how much my dad prays. He cares so much. Yeah, he's a wonderful man.
There's just one thing I want to say to my father. He never told me how to live. He showed me how to live. Great guy.
I'm Carrie Martins. My dad is Gary, and I know many of you have let me know how much you appreciate him. He's a wonderful guy and a wonderful pastor, but he's also a wonderful dad. Sorry. I'm also a nice wife. He came to all of my softball games. I was in the C League in the outfield, and I'm not a promising athlete, but he came to all of those, and my hours and hours and hours of dance recitals. I know he had to take breaks, but he came. he's become a really good friend, and I'm just very proud of him. He's taught me a few things, lots of things, but some of them are, your word is your promise, similar to Leonora. When I would say to him, but it's so hard, Dad, he said, do something hard. And he also said, he always let me know the sky's the limit and that I can do anything. So, and my faith is very important, so I thank him for being an awesome guy. And Wesley's very lucky to have a grandpa like him.
I'm Linda Arlt. My dad is John Schroeder. And like his father, he obviously learned from him because he taught us by how he has lived. And with Dad, I think we all felt that we were extra special. I'm not sure which one of us was the most, but he made us each feel that we were extra special. And his example in faith is second to none as far as I'm concerned. And I'm very fortunate to have a father like that, as was I to have his dad as a grandfather. And it has gone through the generations, and I hope to, that those examples live on through all the other men in our family. And I love you, Dad.
Anybody else? Okay. Thank you all very much for sharing. That was wonderful. I was just thinking about the announcements. I was trying to keep them kind of short just because I wanted to give time for sharing. And I may have shortened them too much. There was a couple that are kind of timely. One is that our worship times are changing next week, and we're starting at 10 o'clock next week. So just didn't want anybody missing completely, and it had been my fault, so that would have been terrible. And also, Sarah Cowan-Owen and a group from the church would like to invite everyone to stay for lunch next Sunday. So that was also kind of a timely one that I'd like to mention. And I also should have asked, is there anything else that I should, any other announcements that people would like to make?
There's something that didn't get into the bulletin. I was too late. We had our 65th wedding anniversary last Wednesday, and I want to thank all those people that came and the people that, I know it was in the summertime, so don't feel bad if you couldn't make it, but we appreciate for all the people that came, and we certainly appreciate what the ladies do. They, our ladies always are fantastic, and again, they were the same way last Wednesday. Gary did a fantastic job to run the whole thing, and the men set up the tables and everything else. It was wonderful, and we thank you for your good wishes. We had so many good wishes from people. It's absolutely wonderful, the support one gets from the church family. Thank you.
Sixty-five years is awesome. That's a dream. That's great. Anybody else? Okay, thanks. Sorry about getting out of order. I guess I was just so excited to get into the sharing part. For the prayer of God's people. Dear God, today we thank you for the gift of fathers. We pray for the men who are doing their best to raise children that will make the world a better place. Sometimes these are the natural fathers of the children, sometimes not. Sometimes these are men playing the role of father to a child who does not have a father of their own. We pray that you give them wisdom, patience, courage, and loving hearts to be the fathers they want to be. We also remember fathers who are no longer with us, but live on in our memory, and whose love continues to nurture us. We pray for our congregation. We pray that you comfort those grieving the loss of loved ones, and that you calm those who are anxious about health issues. We celebrate with Gary and Donna and Carol and Gary, as well as others whose lives are changing in a very happy way. We pray that you rejuvenate those who will be taking time off during the summer to relax and to recharge. And we pray that you are with families around the world who are striving not only to improve their lot in life, but to help others as you have taught us. Amen. Okay, it's time for the children's story. Children, please come up.
Oh. Are you ready to talk? Have a seat. Good morning. Good morning. Okay, we're going to spell today because I'm a teacher. Hey. Oh, do you guys remember her name? Do you know her name? What's your name? Alyssa. Hi, Alyssa. Okay, we're going to help Alyssa spell. So I'm going to show you some letters, and I'm going to talk about the letter a bit. But do you know what that is? It's an A. An A is for attentive. The person we're talking about today is always attentive, pays attention to us, listens. Okay, you guys can... I'm going to just put them on the floor, see if you can figure out what the word is. What letter is that, Alyssa? Do you know? It's an H. Good for you. H means helpful. Helpful. This person that we're talking about is always ready to drop whatever it is that he or she is doing to come and help. So there's the H. Do you know this one, Alyssa? Do you know? R. R is for ready. And we've already heard a little bit about people that are ready to do anything for us. Are you getting what the word might be? Yeah, okay. I'll go a little faster. This is my favorite one. It's a T. T for teacher. This person is a teacher, means he helps you learn stuff. You're figuring out the word? How about this one? Do you know that one, Alyssa? Nope. Jalen. E for energetic. Now, we're not always this way, but sometimes, and when we really need them, they are energetic, these people. And the last one, it's the uppercase letter. F. F is for forgiving. This person, no matter what we do, will always forgive us and love us. Okay, can you put the letters in the right order? F-A-T-H-E-R. What does it say? Father, yes. The fathers that we have here on earth, if we're very lucky, are fathers that will help us see what God actually is for us too, because God's kind of far away and in the sky, and the father that we have on earth is our picture that we see of what God is. Okay, do you want to bow for prayer? Lord, we thank you for our fathers. Help us this day to show our love and appreciation to our fathers, and may we always remember to thank you, our Heavenly Father. Amen.
As a continuation of the children's prayer and as a continuation of our church needs, let's sing number 353, Lord, Listen to Your Children. You may remain seated. We'll sing it through two times. Feel free to close your eyes and make this a prayer of your own and your own needs.
Our scripture reading today is Psalm 78, verses 1 to 7. My friends, I beg you to listen as I teach. I will give instruction and explain the mystery of what happened long ago. These are things we learned from our ancestors, and we will tell them to the next generation. We won't keep secret the glorious deeds and the mighty miracles of the Lord. God gave his law to Jacob's descendants, the people of Israel, and he told our ancestors to teach their children so that each new generation would know his law and tell it to the next. Then they would trust God and obey his teachings without forgetting anything God had done.
Just before we take a look at this, there's a couple of announcements I had wanted to make and forgot to ask James to highlight. First of all, I was so excited about this whole thing about being a grandfather, I forgot that Carrie and Aaron are now auntie and uncle as well. So, first time for them also. In the bulletin, you'll notice that we're beginning our summer series next week. It begins at 10, as James mentioned, not 11, as it says in your bulletin. And we've also wanting to have as a topic, as a theme, our favorite psalm. And so I was sort of hoping that some of you would come and share with me, what is your favorite psalm? And we'd like to pick those up as we go along. Otherwise, I'll just start with number one and go through them all. So might have to be here a few days besides Sundays. Would you bow with me as we pray? God, we come together today mindful of not only our fathers, but also of you, as we have already heard, the way that you come as our Father to teach us, to love us, to care for us, to help us to grow and become who you have created us to be. Help us as we look at the passage and consider this day what we can do to be faithful followers of yours. Amen. So, Father's Day. I find it a little difficult to preach on Father's Day for a couple of reasons. One of them is on Mother's Day, we take these amazing creatures who give us roots and stability and inclusion and understanding and give us their models to how to live and all this amazing stuff. Father's Day, what do? They put us beside God. Who do you think wins in that one? God is a father and here's your father. Man. And it's not helped by our society. Our society, especially in TV, we have seen fathers depicted as a bit of a doofus. In fact, it has a name. It's called the Homer Simpson syndrome. An actual thing. I didn't make that up. And we look around at fathers who are less than capable. You know, mothers and fathers are a partnership. One's 80%, one's 20%. Sometimes going the wrong way. The Bible, unfortunately, doesn't really help us out on this one. We have some fathers in the Bible who don't do a great job. Abraham says to his son and his mother, Hagar and Ishmael, hey, have a great day. Now off you go. And he sends them off to the desert to die. Jacob and Israel play favorites with their kids. Do you know what that does to your family? This is my favorite child. You know the story of Joseph, right? Joseph was a favorite child, got him in a little bit of trouble, and hopefully none of you do that kind of thing. David did a really bad job of teaching his children what it means to love your neighbor. Not the right thing that you're supposed to be doing. Another reason that it's hard to speak on Father's Day is that when we take a look at our world, there's a lot of people who do not have fathers living in the home. Of all the single parent families, 85% are women, 15% is men. Now that's up from about 7 or 8% about 20 years ago, but it's still, there's a lot of people, father figures in their life, we are grateful for them, but they don't have fathers. There is another reason I find it hard to speak on Father's Day, and that is because in spite of what our families say to us, a father feels inadequate. You look back at your life and you think of all the things that you've done that you shouldn't have, all the things you should have done that you didn't, and all the ways that you could have done this better. And many of us, I won't say all fathers, some of you are amazing, but these are the kinds of things that keep me awake at night sometimes. Thinking back as I see something happen during the day, some amazing way that a father has responded to his children, and I go, why didn't I do that? Why wasn't? And so there's kind of a sense of guilt that comes along with Father's Day as well for me. So that makes it a little bit difficult. Anyhow, let's wander into the piranha-infested waters and talk about Father's Day. Over the last while, there's been an interesting dialogue on fathers that has been surfacing in the media. Not just in Christian homes, although that's wonderful. We see our Christian periodicals talking about the importance of being a father. We also see it in the psychological community and in the community of people who deal with children at risk. They say, what is it that we can do for these children which will optimize their life? What can we do for children to make their life the best possible? And now they're starting to just come back and say, you know, maybe a father in their life is not a bad plan. Who knew? And so there's some really good material out there. I read there's a piece put out by the Child and Family Services equivalent in the U.S., whatever it's called. And they put out this pamphlet, it's about 90 pages or so, talking about the importance of fathers or father figures in children's lives. So I'd like to put together a bit of a composite of what a good father is. this serves two functions. One of them is, for those of you who are wondering what to say thank you to Dad for, it'll give you some ideas. And for those of us who are fathers, it's a reminder of what we are called to be. And maybe those who aren't fathers yet, it's an encouragement as to, I didn't really look at my son-in-law. Seven things that I'd like to mention, and the first one surprised me. It came out of the material from social services, and it came up in a number of lists. Number one thing that they suggest is that to be a good father, you have to respect the child's mother. Isn't that interesting? That doesn't come from the context of the church, but outside of the church. And they say there's a couple of reasons for this. If the father respects the mother of the children, whether or not they're living together, the respect and acceptance of the mother translates into respect and acceptance for the child, because the mother is terribly important in their life. And secondly, it's a model for them as to how to live. This is how we treat women in our lives, mothers. They are very important. There's a passage in Ephesians 5, verse about 23 or thereabouts, where Paul is talking to the church. It's called the Haustafeln text. And he says, men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's not just a comment about how to be a good husband. That's a comment about how to be a good father. Isn't that interesting? The second one, no surprise, time. The most important commodity we have. So for those of us who are fathers living in the home, it's not the, I'm going to block out a full day one of these days. It's the little things. It's the being there when the child gets up, having breakfast together, mowing the grass together, doing science projects, going to dance recitals, all the little things, tucking them into bed. Deuteronomy 6 talks about all these things that we do, little bits and pieces. You remember the song Cats in the Cradle? Thank you, lady. Cats in the Cradle by Cat Stevens. When he talks about, we're going to get there one day. Who was it? Okay. Harry Chapin. Just checking if you're listening, Charles. And in the, I love this church. And in the song, he shares one of the biggest struggles that fathers have. Because time is such an important commodity, we say, oh, I've got to go off and do this. I've got to do work. I've got to do all these different things. And where we need to invest it largely is in our children. And our children recognize that. So when the Bible talks about teaching our children all these things, it doesn't say send them an email. Time. The third thing is communication. Each of our children speaks in a different way, has a different a way of communicating. And as fathers, we need to understand what that way of communicating is for a number of reasons. We need to understand simply so we understand our child. We need to understand what that method of communication is so that we know what's special to them and what's important and how to show them that we love them and care about them. It also allows us, when they go through hard times, whether it's times of disappointment or whether it's being a teenager or whatever it is, that was supposed to be a joke, sorry, that we are there to walk with our children in meaningful ways because we understand them. We know how to communicate. The fourth one I found also interesting. It is a support and discipline. Now, within the Christian community, we don't talk much about discipline in children. I think that's largely because we've done a really, really bad job of that in the past. I grew up when people would often say, spare the rod, spoil the child. And there was a lot of corporal punishment that went on inappropriately in homes. There were a lot of fathers who felt that it was okay to beat their children when they were angry. And I know that's none of you, and I'm very glad. But some of you know of these cases. And so as a church, we've just kind of backed away from that. But discipline becomes important. Discipline is not hurting our children. Discipline is helping our children understand that there are consequences. Remember that discussion 2 weeks ago? There are consequences to what we do, and we need to discipline in such a way that they learn, that they take it seriously, and never, never, never does it undermine their understanding of our unconditional love for them. discipline's a lot of work for the parent. Dear old dad has got to think. And you know that saying, it hurts me more than it hurts you? Well, I think that's probably true, mostly because we have to sit there and tear our hair out as we're trying to figure out how to do this thing. Ah, yes. Protect and provide. Parents need to protect their children. Now, that doesn't say that we need to be their bodyguard or bouncer or beat up all the kids who frown at them. What we as parents do is we need to teach our children how to deal with the struggles that they encounter in life. There are times when we need to step in. We've heard quite a bit about cyberbullying. There are times when our kids are in over their heads. And that's where we as parents step in. And that takes a lot of work too, because now we have to figure out how to use the internet appropriately and not just ask our kids, how does this work again? Which button do I push? It takes a little work to figure this one out, but we need to be there to care for our children. Or when our children are struggling with things that are more than they can handle, we as parents need to be there to stand with them. We need to protect them. But largely what we're trying to do is we're trying to give them the tools as best we can to deal with some of the things in front of them. The provide, sometimes it seems like in our society, there's an expected level of stuff that our kids get. Every kid properly provided for has all this mountain full of stuff, not the case at all. Yes, we want to make sure that we look after the physical needs of our children. We don't want to be irresponsible about that. But to provide for our children means to give our children what they truly need to develop and grow as whole and capable members of our society. So that has to do as much about hugging them and talking through issues as it has to do with putting bread on the table, as important as that may be. Some of us grew up with parents who gave sacrificially. There was hardly enough, and it was very carefully doled out, and we never heard that until later on in our lives, some of us, that our parents gave us more than they sometimes had, because they thought that was important for us, that that would be helpful for us in our life. They did without so that we could have. And we look back now, and sometimes I just shake my head at the generosity and care of my parents. Modeling, we've heard quite a bit about that, being an example. We need to model to our children holistic living. We need to model honesty and transparency. We need to remodel respect and caring for everyone around us. We need to model how you deal when things get difficult, when you get angry, when you get frustrated, when you can't fix things, when you run out of money. Our children need to see the way that we model that. One of the biggest things that we need to model for our children is how to ask forgiveness. We all mess up, some of us more than others. And we need to show our children that we can come to them and say, I'm sorry, or that we can apologize. Our children do not need us coming home from work or from church or from anywhere else complaining about everybody. They need us coming home, speaking well of people. And if anybody needs a little tap on the shoulder, it's us. We need to ask forgiveness. That we need to model for our children. Our words need to match our actions, which means sometimes some of us would be very quiet. A number of years ago, I may have mentioned this one before. A number of years ago, I led a father-son retreat. There were about 20 boys, 15 dads, grade 2, 3, 4. And it was the retreat was called Under Construction. It was so much fun. When the kids came, I gave each of the boys a hammer, and I said, this is for yours to keep. And boy, you've never seen such big eyes. You'd think I'd give them a pot of gold, you know. They slept with a hammer. They had so much fun. So we'd get the boys and the dads together to have a little talk, and the boys' attention span was, what, 2-3 minutes? So we'd deal with that. Then we'd send them outside with their hammer, so we only have a certain amount of time before we have to get out there and reconstruct the camp. So I talk with the dads, and I remember one time saying to the dads, and this came back to sit on my shoulders, to say to the dads, I want you to look in the mirror. That is who you're calling your boys to be. And, you know, it came out easily enough, but that night I'm sitting there thinking, really? I want my boys to be like I am modeling for them. So important. The final one is building a strong sense of self. To me, I think this is probably the most important one, and it incorporates all the others. That we develop our children with a strong sense of self. That means we're not putting our kids down all the time. We're not telling them that everybody's better than them. Some of us grew up in households where our parents wanted to make sure we didn't become proud, and so they never affirmed what was going on in our life. Not good. The opposite actually happens today. Many parents tell their children that they are the most outstanding children in the world. Now, for one case, it's probably true, but that's where it ends. Our children aren't the most outstanding. And what happens is when they get out into the world, whether that's work or with friends or at school, they learn very quickly that not everybody thinks they're as special as their father told them they were. What giving them a strong sense of self means is that we give them an honest understanding of who they are, that we help them understand what their gifts and abilities are, that we develop those, that we help them understand the areas that they need to work at. You know, so they love science. We enroll them in a science camp in summer if we can. They're a little struggling in math. We say, well, you know what? Struggling in math. Let's get somebody to give you a hand so that you can pick this one up and you can become strong. Building good self-esteem in our children is building an honest sense of self. Well, there's about 77 more things that I could add in here. We're going to hold it there. Father's Day this year is special, as you've heard, for me in another way. As of last Tuesday, I'm a grandpa. I have even less hair than I had before. And this is the first year that my son is a dad. And so as I look at Father's Day, I think back, as I mentioned earlier, about what it means for me to have been a dad. And I think about my son, and I wish for him to be the perfect father. I wish for him to take his son and teach him and model and show and walk with him. And I know he's going to make a few mistakes too. But I trust that that some of the things, hopefully I've taught him some things and he's smart enough to figure out the rest. The third thing is, I guess I also would like to join the sharing and share a little bit about two important fathers in my life. And I'll do this briefly. One is Dave, my father. My father died in 2011, been gone a few years. He was not a perfect man. He was terribly impatient. I think I've mentioned this before. He said, if there's not dust or smoke behind you, you're going too slow. When we were at seminary, I built a rocking horse for my son. I built it by hand. It took me, I'm sure, a month. And I was very proud of this thing. I went home and my dad looked at it and he kind of liked it. And he puttered with wood. And he said, do you mind if I make a template from this and build some? He cranked them out about a dozen a day. He was retired. He sold them for $5 a piece and made money. I'm going, wow. A little rough around the edges, but my father was also haywire. And that really ground on me because I like things done correctly. Ask anybody who's worked with me on the house. We had a little talk every time my father would come to my house. He'd come to the door to help me and I'd say, my house, my rules, right? He'd say, my mother had a little Datsun 510, and they were prone to rust on the top of the fenders. My father, this is not a word of a lie, my father took an axe and chopped the rust out. Then he took that same axe and took a 2x4 and shaved it till it just fit inside the fender. He screwed it on, smeared it over with Bondo, sanded it, primed it, and painted it. And the thing that made me most mad was it looked great and it lasted a long time. But my father taught me three things to mention. One of them is he taught me about work. He went to work early every day, worked hard, never complained. In 1968, one of my sisters got married and our car died. And this was the days before if you wanted money, you just go in the bank and they'd give you a pailful. You actually had to have money to buy things. So my father took a second job. He went to work for 8 hours, grabbed a quick bite, went to work for another 8 hours, had a quick night's sleep, and he did that day after week after month to pay for that. Never did I hear a complaint. A little grumpy, but he never complained. Another thing I learned from my father was to be inclusive. We grew up in a community that was a bit bigoted. My father was friends with anybody. He would bring them home. We had a large garden at home. I don't know, maybe an acre and a half. Horrible thing. And we were always glad when part of it would be taken up by someone else. Anybody who needed a garden was welcome. My dad was purchased janitorial supplies for the school district. And the salesman they sent up to the northern district was not necessarily their A group. But my father used to bring them home for supper, sometimes for night. We would get Christmas cards and gifts for years after that. My father had room, didn't matter what culture or background you were from. He did not judge. He just included. And the third thing I learned from my father was about love. My father had a clear and simple understanding of God. God loved him, sent his son to teach him and die for him, and my father's response was to love God and show that by the way that he lived, and he did. He also loved us, and we knew that. He was fiercely proud of us as his kids and of his grandchildren. And I think the thing that made me the happiest was when I would bring my kids home, and whatever they were up to, they always felt that Grandpa thought they were amazing and outstanding. They loved Grandpa because Grandpa loved them. So thanks, Dad. Thanks for teaching me about life and love and faith in God. The other man I'd like to say thank you to is my father-in-law, George. We moved to Burns Lake when I was 8, and he landed up being my best friend's father. So we were over there a lot, doing things that he didn't always approve of, but we were there nonetheless. At 16, he became my boss at a McLeod store where he was a manager, and about the same time, he became my girlfriend's father. And at age 22, he became my father-in-law. Again, not a perfect man. He was a person who focused very tightly, and sometimes when he was doing something, he was so focused he forgot about everything outside, including people. He sometimes got a little carried away being fiscally responsible, shall we say. But he taught me some very important things. First of all, he was resourceful. There was very little that man couldn't figure out how to fix in an incredibly simple and effective way. People would come into the McLeod store. They didn't want to buy something. They wanted to see George. Is George in? They'd go see George. They had a problem with their pump. They'd walk out with the weirdest thing. George said this would work. They always trusted him. Learned an awful lot from him. But the thing that really, really hit me about my father-in-law was his commitment to faith and to Christ. Shortly before my in-laws got married, friends of theirs got married, and they headed up to northern BC to start a conference church, working mostly with the Old Colony people. When my in-laws got married in 1955 for their honeymoon, they headed up to Burns Lake. And for the next 50 years, without ever getting 5 cents compensation, they worked in that church to support their friends as they got the church going and later on to support the church. They supported the pastors through good and bad. They were there to plug in wherever they were needed in the church. They were there to open their doors to people who had problems, to help them. They were there to go out to fix whatever they could in people's lives and just be available. My father-in-law showed me that Christian faith is not an add-on. It's a way of life. And that's really touched me very deeply from early on. So thanks, Dad. Thanks for teaching me not only about being resourceful, but also about learning about taking my faith really seriously. So there we are. This morning I wanted to share these things for a couple of reasons. One of them is a bit of a direction for young fathers. What does it mean to be a good father? One of them is to say thanks to Dad and to all the fathers who have gone before, who weren't perfect but showed enough of Christ to help me look in that direction, to experience God's love and forgiveness. And partly, to come to Father's Day to find a sense of forgiveness for me, for not being as good a father as I can. God is gracious and merciful and patient. So are my kids, as it turns out. And so today, I just am grateful that in spite of the fact that I, and maybe a few of you fathers, aren't perfect, we can celebrate Father's Day surrounded by people we love, knowing that God has worked through us to touch other lives. Amen.
As our response to the message, please turn to number 307, Will You Let Me Be My Servant? We'll sing verse 1 and 2. Please stand. Who are struggling to teach your children the way of God, and to all the rest of you as well. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Number 546, Guide My Feet. We'll sing verse 1, 2, and 4.
Guide my feet, my rudderless way.
Hold my hand, water of this rain. Hold my hand, water of this rain. Hold my hand.